From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Sheila Cast. On a cold December morning in 1386, just a few days after Christmas, thousands of people packed a large open space behind a monastery in Paris. Two knights in armor, Jean de Carrouges and Jacques Legris, prepared to fight a duel to the death. The beautiful young wife of Jean de Carrouges, Marguerite, sat alone on a black-draped scaffold. Her testimony of a terrible crime against her had started this dispute. Before it was over, one of the warriors lay dead, and the other was exonerated. It was the last time the French government authorized a duel, trial by combat, to settle a legal dispute. The last duel is the tale of how these three came to put their lives and their honor at risk on this dueling ground. It's part detective story, part history book, and completely full of intrigue. Its author, Eric Jaeger, a professor of English at UCLA, spoke to us from the studios of Radio France in Paris.
Jean de Carrouges was this ferocious Norman knight, and Jacques Legris was an old friend of his who had fallen out with Jean de Carrouges over disputes concerning land and money.
And tell us about Marguerite.
Marguerite was a beautiful young woman, a wealthy heiress from a well-known Norman family, but a family that was tainted by treachery since her father had betrayed the French king not once but twice and had nearly lost his head for high treason. And so her family had this checkered history.
So sometime after Jean de Carrouges comes back from a relatively disastrous military campaign in Scotland, he gets some very bad news from Marguerite. Can you summarize for us what she had to tell him?
Okay. Marguerite tells Jean when he returns that during his absence, Jacques Legris and an accomplice named Adam Lavelle arrived at the chateau, and Jacques Legris at first tried to seduce her, offering Marguerite money, which she adamantly refused, and then turned violent. And the two men seized her, dragged her upstairs, tied her down to a bed, and there Jacques Legris raped Marguerite, and the two men then left the chateau. Carrouges was, of course, furious and made the charges known to the local lord, Count Pierre Valençon, the overlord of the two men, Carrouges and Legris. And Count Pierre held a hearing in his court, but exonerated Legris, who happened to be his court favorite, of all the charges. And so Carrouges appealed the case to Count Pierre's overlord, who happened to be the King of France, Charles VI. And so with that appeal, the case came to the High Court of France, the Parliament of Paris.
Marguerite's family had a blot, a reputation of treachery. Why did she decide to go public with this accusation?
Well, that's a great question. It's a testament to her courage that she did so, because even today, accusations of rape are often difficult to prove because of the lack of witnesses, as was the case here. And Marguerite had no assurance that, first of all, her husband would believe her, or that this case would receive the justice it deserved in a legal hearing. It did not, obviously, in the first instance, and so she had no assurance of this taking place in Paris either. So it was a very risky thing for her, and she was at risk of death because in rape cases, false accusations by women were punishable by death. She would be, in fact, burned at the stake. This was the penalty in force at the time for false accusations of rape, at least in cases that went to duels.
Now, you make a distinction in your book between duels of honor and judicial duels. Explain that.
Right. Duels of honor are something that, of course, continued long into the later centuries, but judicial duels were something that were actually going out of legal fashion at this time in France. The judicial duels went way back to the early Middle Ages and could be fought over all sorts of matters, property disputes, criminal cases, and they were not always duels to the death. They were sometimes just duels to the point of one person vanquishing the other, and sometimes fought with clubs, non-lethal weapons. But by this time in France, duels had become very rare and were subject to strict royal regulation. Any duel had to be approved by the king and his parliament, and they could only be fought by noblemen, only in capital cases, and with very strict regulation of who could fight about what. They were actually considered part of the legal system, part of a legal process, and the outcome was considered to be a divine decision, a miraculously given verdict to a legal case.
So people believe that God intervened in these duels?
Yes, that God would assure that the right cause would win. That was the belief.
Describe the duel up to a point.
Okay, up to a point. Well, it's a cold December morning, and on this field that was about the size of a football field, a sturdy wooden wall was erected around the battleground with a huge crowd gathered around it, the king and his court sitting in special viewing stands along one side. And Marguerite watched from a scaffold, all dressed in black. The two men were heavily armed, equipped with weapons, lances, probably two swords each, an axe, and also a dagger, very heavily harnessed and equipped war horses at the ready, which they would mount at the marshal's signal and then gallop down the field toward each other. This was not a friendly joust of sport where all sorts of rules applied. It was really a bloody free-for-all, no hold barred. Any sort of tactic could be used. The one assurance was that only one man would leave that field alive.
One of the things that struck me, you said the crowd was completely silent.
Yes, this is one of the very elaborate rules for the crowd as well as the combatants themselves, included the stipulation that you could not shout out, you could not say anything, you were not allowed to spit, cry out, make any sort of gesture that might interfere with the outcome of the duel. After all, it was a divinely sanctioned event.
Summarize for us, what did each of these three, Carouge, Marguerite, and Legris, have at stake as the duel started?
Well, Jean de Carouge had his reputation, his life, his fortune, even his immortal soul, as did Jacques Legris. For both men, before they entered the field to fight, had to swear a great oath that they would willingly go to hell instead of heaven if they had sworn falsely. And assuredly, one of the two had sworn falsely. Marguerite, the same thing. In fact, Marguerite, before the duel began, took an oath herself, and as her husband asked her if he could fight a just cause on her behalf, and she answered loudly for the crowd to hear, yes, the cause was just. And so she, too, would sacrifice her life, her reputation, her fortune, her soul for perjury if the outcome proved her wrong.
Without giving away the suspense, can you tell us whether this particular combat hastened the end of using duels to settle legal disputes?
It is widely said to have done so. It was a very controversial duel, both during the court case, which lasted a couple of months, and of course leading up to the duel, which was the highlight of the Christmas festivities that year in the royal court, and the outcome, controversial.
It's my impression that you believed Marguerite's version of what happened. Why?
Yeah, I did, and the revelation to me came during the sort of intense research on her testimony, which survives in court records that you can still see in Paris, as I have seen them, and the detailed and circumstantial evidence she gives, which contradicts, I think, the consensus opinion that has come down through the centuries from historians and chroniclers alike, that it might have been a case of mistaken identity. She is so specific about who attacked her and who was there and how it happened and all the details, that there's no way that she could have been honestly mistaken about this. Of course, it's possible she was lying. I believe she was telling the truth. The idea, though, that she was honestly mistaken about who attacked her seems to me impossible.
What would you expect a contemporary audience to get from reading this book you've written?
Well, one of the things that I think came through for me from the story was how, like us, these people are, the same jealousies, the same courage, the same sense of loyalty, the same sense of betrayal, the dependence on friendship, the kinds of passions and energies that drive them can be found today, not just in high-profile celebrity cases of the sort we read about, but in our own lives. What comes through is the human dimension of struggles with friendship, enemies, family, loyalties, sometimes sundered, sometimes cemented by these kinds of crises that happened to these very real but larger-than-life people in 14th-century France.
Eric Jaeger wrote The Last Duel, a true story of crime, scandal, and trial by combat in medieval France. It was published by Broadway Books, a division of Random House. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.